I'm comedian and author Vicki Cooperman. I'm doing a show called When I Could Feel, my stand-up solo show, and I am so excited to be talking to Rabbi Saul Solomon of UNC Radio for his show, Dave's Gone By.
Shalom, shalom, uracha. Hello, hello, everybody. This is Rabbi Saul Solomon, the founder and spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And I am so excited and so thrilled and delighted to be talking to a Shayna Madel and a funny Shayna Madel. Her name is Vicki Cooperman, so you can tell she's Jewish right off the bat. She's not only Jewish, she's Russian Jewish, born in Russia, and she's been working for many years, working herself up to be a comedian, and now it's all starting to fall into place. She's done dozens and dozens of gigs. Now she has a book out. It's called The Russian Drop, and she also is doing a show as part of the United Solo Theater Festival, and it's been selling out like hotcakes, or whatever the Russians make that are cake-like. Her name, again, is Vicki Cooperman. She's been called one of the 12 new comedians to watch by the Huffington Post. Please welcome Vikula. Shalom.
Shalom.
Why, thanks. Oh, good. It looks like I'm killing already. You're the comedian, but I'm making you laugh. This is our biggest compliment ever.
It is a compliment, but you know, all Jewish men think they're comedians, so you also all are kind of a comedian.
Well, it's only because women look below our waists and they start laughing, so it's
right.
That's what happens.
Right, yeah, a lot of laughter.
Yeah. So, you were born in Moscow. How long were you there?
I was there 2 years.
So really, did you even learn any Russian?
Yes, I speak Russian fluently, and I can say some words to you right now.
Oh, go ahead. So go ahead.
No, I'm not doing that.
Oh, okay. Don't go ahead.
Блядь, ёб твою мать.
All right, can you translate that one, or will it get us both
through? Fuck your mother.
Ooh!
Oh, and I called you a whore.
All right, that's not so bad, but leave my mother out of it. You know.
Leave your mother out of it. Sorry, I know.
My father you can call up, but not my mom, no.
Okay.
So, but let me ask, Jewish family, Russia, but relatively modern era, or was this still during the whole Soviet Jewry thing?
Oh, I appreciate you saying that I'm younger than I am, but yes, this was during Soviet Union that I was born. No, I'm
so?
Or 20. My father's Jewish, my mother's not.
Well.
They had to secretly have a marriage in me, and they didn't tell anybody about it until they needed, you know.
Well, so everybody assumed the family was Christian. No, we're not. No, wait. What am I missing?
My mother's not Christian. She's Russian Orthodox.
Okay.
It was like in the 70s in Soviet Union, and I was born in 78. I'm not one of those people that lies about my age.
Okay. Well, you're still a lovely, beautiful-looking person, so no matter what age you are. So.
Thank you for telling me that even though I'm 36, I look good. Thank
even though... 36! You're a spring chicken!
I'm a spring chicken.
How do you say spring chicken in Russian?
There is no word for spring chicken. There's only word for old, ugly hag in Russian.
Well, how do you say, there must be a word for chicken.
Chicken? Курица.
Курица. How do you say the season of spring?
Весна. So it would be весная курица.
Весная курица.
Very good.
Yeah,
really good Russian.
Well, I've got some of that background in me.
In you right now?
My great grand. No wonder I'm walking funny. But you know, thank you so much. Where the hell are we? Oh, yeah, Vicki Cooperman, her family, Russian Jews.
Anyway, whatever. I was a Jewish refugee, but I'm just half Jewish through my father, which, you know, the New York Jews don't accept, but the parts of the country where they're desperate for Jews totally accept.
Totally. Well, I accept it, but my question is, did they have...
Colorado, and you're desperate for Jews.
Oh, hell yeah. Every time one dies, you actually see the percentage go down 12%. It's amazing.
Are you stoned right now?
No, I get high on life and Manischewitz. I do,
okay.
I do, yeah. My question, though, is, you can play it funny, but I'm wondering, in that era, how did your parents get the hell out of Russia?
My dad's mother, my grandmother, had been saving up and applying for an invitation into America for years. And there was a big Russian-Jewish exodus in 1980, so they were accepted.
That
father was like, guess what? I have a wife and child. My wife's a Soviet. She may not want to go. And my mother's like, fuck it, I'll go. So everyone went.
So everyone went. And New York was the destination?
Boston was.
Oh, Boston.
We had My grandfather's uncle lived in Boston, and he got out because he was the world checker champion for 7 years. He was, like, a really famous checker player, so he, like, got to travel.
A really famous... That's an oxymoron. I'm sorry. A world-famous checker... just doesn't exist! We have another person coming up on the show in a week or two, Ian Finkel, who is the son of Fivish Finkel, actually, and he appears in the band backing his dad. And he is probably the world's best-known xylophonist. Well, let me tell you something, honey. Again, oxymoron.
Checkers got me into America, so checkers are important to me.
Hey, checkers got Nixon in the White House. It works.
Checkers got Nixon.
Thank you very much. I should have a rim shot. As opposed, well, I'm not going to go there. But all right, so do you have any memories, even though you were 2 years old, of being a baby in Russia, in Moscow?
I have no memories, but I went back for a semester in 99, and I had a lot of deja vu.
Wait, in 99? That was pre-Glasnost, no?
No, it was after Glasnost, but it was pre-Putin. It was 3 months before Putin.
Oh, before Putin is great. That's right. I'm thinking
Nelson
80s.
Was drunk, so it was anarchy and whatever.
So did you enjoy being in Moscow for a semester?
I loved it, but it was intense.
Okay.
And everything there's more intense, so...
Did you get to see other parts?
Which turned into strep. Turned into pneumonia, which turned into mono, and I had to leave early.
Now, hold on.
So
let me ask you.
It was snowing and freezing by September 30th.
Oh, I know. My friend Dave went to St. Petersburg a couple of times years ago, and it was early November, and he was in St. Petersburg, and the Neva was frozen on October 5th or something like that. It was snowing every day because it was winter already.
Right, it's nuts.
But let me ask, you had pneumonia. Were you in a Russian hospital? What was that like?
Russian hospital, yeah. It was basically like an abandoned school with a woman who was sticking something down my throat to see if I had strep, and it was like...
That sounds like my first visit to a whorehouse, yes?
Yeah, exactly. wait.
What? No, I don't...
What kind of whores do rabbis go to?
What kind of whores do rabbis... Let's see. Basically, you go to a woman, you beg and complain. And you beg for sex, but unlike in marriage, you actually get it.
Unlike in marriage.
Yeah, that's the actual difference. That
are you a whiny customer? I just ate.
Well, all right, let me throw that back on you. If you had to describe yourself as a comedian, what kind of comedian are you?
Comedian.
Oh, sorry? Oh, you don't like the female thing. You just like pure comedian... No sex attached, as it were.
I don't know. Do you call them doctresses or doctors?
That's a...
Rabbi.
Oh, fair enough. Well, we have rabbis and rabbitsins, the wife of the rabbi.
Yeah, the wife of the rabbi isn't a rabbi.
Well, what do you call a male... Well, we have female male people, and we call them a mailman, sort of.
No, but that's not my arena. My arena is spreading the information that I'm a comedian. But anyway, your question was...
Rabbi. I don't know what the hell my question was. My question was, how would you describe your style? Are you experiential? Are you joke?
I think I started out as kind of more jokes, and now I'm trying to do stories with more punchlines and jokes. So not like one-liners, but I have punchlines.
Oh, I hope so, yes.
Sorry, I'm here with my friends, so let me ask them. Do I have punchlines?
You have punchlines.
Yeah. Yeah, I have punchlines.
She has punchlines.
Yeah, I got punchlines.
Is it all? I have to say also, I enjoyed seeing you years ago.
Yeah.
When Dave and you were working
center.
On Stage Buddy. What? Yes?
Yeah, Stage Buddy. I hosted with Dave.
That's right. You dealt with all the comedians, and some of the comedians that you booked for the show, your friends of yours, they're now turning up on comedy radio stations and... Things like that. J.L. Coban was one of them. I forget one or two of the others.
I booked a lot of people. One of them had a Comedy Central special. Another one hosts something on NPR.
So do you feel that this is now your time, as it were?
I don't know.
Do you feel things changing now that you got the one-person show and an album that you're recording?
Did record on September 28th.
Oh, right. Of course. Thank you. You recorded it already.
I feel like it's my time because I'm making it my time. I don't know what the industry, I have no idea what's in store for me with the industry, but I feel like I'm not waiting around for that.
Good for you. So the other question, though, is you have done, as I said, hundreds, maybe thousands of gigs at this point, lots of opening act things. Yep. I'm sure you get paid a bit now as opposed to just doing everything for free.
Right.
Are you supporting yourself in comedy?
Not yet.
Oh, what do you do? What's your day job?
I'm a producer.
Oh, that's a good creative. What do you produce?
I produce a weekly web show for Marlo Thomas, who has a show on AOL, and I work on AOL projects as well.
Wonderful. That's a great... How is...
Say that.
What's Marlo Thomas like?
Wait a minute. What? I just swore on your show. So delete the AOL part when you wear this. So let me start again, okay?
Sure, yeah, okay.
But I can definitely say Marlo. It's fine. So I produce a show for Marlo Thomas. It's a weekly web show, and we have different guests, like celebrities and experts. It's basically targeted to women over 40, and... It's very fun. And Marlo is a huge fan of comedy because her dad was a huge famous comedian.
Wait, Danny Thomas, of course.
Who had his own show and founded St. Jude Children's Hospital, so I...
that St. Jude, that's a funny thing, yes.
Just that St. Jude, just the most, I don't know, successful charity in America. So that's what I do.
Well, actually, here's the question then. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about that as well. When you say you produce this show for the web, what does that entail?
That entails booking the guests, handling all the crew. I mean, this is kind of boring.
No, it's not.
Okay, handling all the crew, making sure Marlo knows, you know, meeting with Marlo to pre-produce our segments, making sure our demographic is aligned with our guests, a lot of scheduling with celebrities. Yeah. Nice. I'm just saying it a different way, but I'm not going to say it that way.
All right.
A lot of
wrangling is the word.
Celebrities and and then actually being on set and making sure the crew is there, making sure the lighting's right, and then
that's a pretty fabulous gig.
Writing the clips after, and you know.
So I find that exciting. I thought you'd say, I'm a waitress 3 times a week, or
not a waitress, but sometimes I wish I were.
It sounds like you're holding back. When you finally give up the Marlo Thomas job, then we'll talk and then you'll tell me all the horrible things you're not telling me now. Because I'm sensing something
horrible
about...
I love my job. It's allowed me... Wait a minute. I've had my job for 4 years, actually, like today. Today is actually, I think, the anniversary.
Mazel!
Thank you. Oh, no, not today. Sorry. I mean...
So recently. Recently was your job, yes.
November 11th. I love my job. I'm not holding back anything. It's just funny. When you do a job for a long time, it feels kind of boring to you because you're doing it.
I'm sure it's not boring to anybody, but certainly not to me and to anybody listening, to have a gig where you're producing a celebrity's web show. People would kill for that, let alone being a stand-up comedian on the rise. And speaking again...
Wonderful, because I've been doing it 4 years, and I have my weekends and nights to do my comedy.
Yeah.
And write my book, which, by the way, is called The Russian Drop.
The Russian... Now, what is that?
That is
title
a fiction. Ooh. I have to stress, it's fiction for legal purposes. About
How much sex is in it?
28-year-old Russian-American girl living in New York City.
Lots of sex.
A year before she starts stand-up, and she goes on a lot of dates, and this is kind of first-person chronicling those dates. It's comedic and light and fun. It's a great planer beach book. If somebody wants a signed copy, I can actually sign it and mail them to me if they PayPal me. So, signed copies are always fun.
Can they do that through Amazon or just through your website?
They can just email me through my website. My website is vickycooperman.com. It's Cooperman, K-U-P-E-R-M-A-N. They can also find the book on Amazon. They can get it as an e-book. I make it very easy.
Yeah. And be very careful, folks. It's Cooperman with one P. There's not it isn't a P-P, which really hurts your bladder. But it's Cooperman, K-U-P-E-R-M-A-N.
Right.
And Vicky with a Y. A Y on the end.
With a Y, good point.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Why? Because we like you, Vicky Cooperman. And let me ask you, Vicky. Have you encountered, since stand-up comedy, even perhaps now, is still perceived on some level as a man's game? And we saw the documentary about Joan Rivers and making it all those years in a man's, quote-unquote, world. Do you still encounter sexism in what you do, or is that kind of not even an issue anymore?
I don't know how it's perceived by others, because I'm on the other side of that. I have to say that creatively, that you can develop your act. I don't know what it's like to be a man, but I found that as a woman, I can develop my act just as much as a man can, because there are plenty of places to go, do open mics,
true,
do writing groups, do shows, do bar shows. But now that I'm trying to switch over to doing it for more money and more full time, I have noticed the sexism more when it comes to the business part of it, and that's when it gets a little personal.
So, in other words, you find your cohorts who are male are getting paid more, getting better times?
More, just getting booked.
Getting booked?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, now that's why I'm asking. I'm not in the field.
And I don't, that's just another wall for me to break. I mean, I just have to keep getting funnier and funnier, and hopefully this won't be an issue. But yeah. I have to say that the comedy, when someone's asked me, is comedy sexist? No, the art, the craft of comedy is not sexist.
Well, no, well, unless you're Jerry Lewis, but...
Jerry Lewis, but the craft is not, to me. Maybe someone else thinks women aren't funny. That's their problem.
I meant in the business sense.
Yeah,
I meant in
the business,
getting ahead.
It's shifting. The business is shifting. But there are... The level I'm at is a little tough, because those clubs are still kind of doing status quo.
Mm.
Those are still kind of status quo. Those are still... If there's two women on a show out of three comedians, suddenly they make it a ladies' weekend. Like, why can't it just be comedy? Because I did a show where there were three women on the show upstate New York, and everybody left very happy, and the audience left. They bought, like, a lot of my books. They met with everybody. They loved it. They asked when we're playing again. They requested us back at the club. Not one of those audience members left saying, there was something missing. I wish there was a man on the show tonight.
Certainly not.
No.
Of course.
And not to say that there's plenty of men I love that are hilarious.
Well, who are some of the comedians who influenced you, male or female?
Sherry Davey is one of the first comedians I ever met. She was hosting at Caroline's a little over 7 years ago. She's one of the funniest, smartest people in the business.
Sherry Davey.
You know how Joan Rivers, up to the end, was reinventing herself with the trends of the industry, and she would do anything. She went on Celebrity Apprentice. She had her fashion police. She moved with the times, like a salmon in the current, okay? Or
yeah.
Did they swim with stream or above stream? Whatever
I'm
fish.
Sure. Wherever salmon.
Okay, that was Joan Rivers. Sherry Davey is like one of those people, and she's hilarious. I really recommend everybody looking for her. Another comedian that greatly influences me as a person, as a comedian, is Max Cohen.
Max Cohen?
An incredible working comedian in New York City and starting to branch out on the road a lot. He is incredibly disciplined with his delivery and his jokes. I wish I was that disciplined.
So, how well do you know this person?
How well do I know this person?
Yes.
Both Sherry and Max I'm very close with.
Okay, yeah, no, so, I mean, are you physically there with Max Cohen?
I am physically there with Max.
Okay, I was just curious.
Sherry, I think everyone should know about her.
Yeah.
A joke writer like no other. I featured for her while she headlined in Albany 2 weeks ago, and I was amazed at her ability. She killed for 45 minutes in a crowd that was not easy. And I had dips, and she just got up there, and, they couldn't breathe by the end. And Max Cohen, I'm telling you, I wish I had the discipline to deliver jokes the same way every night, because that's how you get good. That's a very Seinfeld-like quality.
To know every single time you're only changing maybe a word, but every
right. But,
the
right.
cadence is always
delivery
the same.
Isn't right, but the point is you do it until you know. And I'm not that good at, I wish I could learn from him. And the third person I'd like to mention is a guy named Keith Anthony out of Long Island. I saw him the very first time I even wanted to do comedy, and I was amazed.
Keith Anthony, okay.
And then he talks about everything that's wrong with society, but he does it in a funny way. And he was doing it for a while before people were as angry as he was. And then 2008 hit, and then they got angrier than he was. And now, and I think, I haven't seen him in a while, but I think he's really clicking with people's mindsets right now. So I think great things are going to happen for him. I'm waiting for his HBO special.
Well, between Louis Black and Louis C.K., anger is, I guess, in.
Anger's big right now.
Yeah.
Anger's huge.
Works for me. God damn it. Oh, yeah. Then now, have you done...
Have Max Cohen on the show, because he went to rabbinical school. Yes, thank you for the applause.
Now, and he's Presbyterian, so it's a...
Presbyterian,
a,
I know.
A real shock. Now, have you done the cross-country stuff, or have you hit just New York and Florida? How coastal are you at this point in your comedy?
Florida.
Chicago, where the yids are.
I have done... I mostly do stuff around New York. I've done road gigs elsewhere. I just did some shows in Denver, and I performed in the Castro, which is
San Francisco?
I'm in San Francisco. I'm a
You gotta get the Fagelis to love you, just like the
Jonah. Exactly.
You need them.
A woman who loves the gays. Castro was amazing. Denver was great. I've performed in the Northwest in, like, 4 states. I've performed in Indiana, but mostly it's, like, Long Island, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Boston.
Well, were the crowds different in, say, Indiana?
Yes. And
how?
But they were great.
Okay. I'm not saying they were worse, but how were they
different?
Actually,
you know, I mean, to me, the worst comedy audience is Long Island.
Why?
The worst.
Why?
I mean, why? I don't know. You ask them.
No, or how then? What happens in Long Island? Are they drunk?
Arms crossed. Who does she think she is? She's not one of us. We're not laughing.
Really?
We're racist. I mean, you know, we don't laugh at racial stuff. We don't laugh at Jewish stuff. And I'm like, unless you do like a temple, and then it's great because it's a niche.
Right.
I rarely have a good show in Long Island, like, especially when you're out east in Long Island. And I know now, like, all of Long Island is going to ban me just when they...
Yeah, because so many people
program. David Brenner was a big mentor for me, and when I mentioned Long Island, he started shuddering and said, oh, don't even talk to me about Long Island. It's horrible.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Jerry Seinfeld has actually said it, too, even though he's from there. I think he said, it's a tough crowd. It's always a tough
one. Oh, I know. I remember Dave appearing at the Brokerage a couple of times. Woo!
Brokerage?
Scary. Yeah, it's a club on Long Island, yeah.
Yeah, I know. And it actually, the Brokerage actually really, the words construct what Long Island is, which is broke rage. Broke rage.
You do have punchlines, Vicki Cooperman.
I am good at punchlines. The Brokerage is actually an exception because it's a little closer in to, like, Queens, and so it's a little more diverse, and I had amazing shows at the Brokerage.
Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, he didn't have bad experiences there. It was just,
I was opening for Gilbert Gottfried, so I was kind of there, like, with an open mind, you know. It was great. But
you opened for Gilbert? Any Gilbert stories?
He's really nice offstage.
Yeah. He was on this radio program, so I'm kind of curious. He seemed like a nice fella. When you get past, obviously, the shtick that he does when he's on, quote-unquote. You know, although he's always on, so you never get past the shtick. But still, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Now, what is your worst... We have only a couple minutes left with Vicki Cooperman. What's the hell gig? Worst gig you ever did?
Worst gig I ever did?
Oh, yeah. Besides this radio show.
There was one in Southern Oregon when... I was doing it at a casino. I was doing half an hour, and the headliner was doing 60, and there was a cage separating the people who paid from who didn't.
That was a cage!
And I was on stage, and someone offered me a drink.
Oh?
Said no thanks, and apparently you're not supposed to do that. It's really rude. Apparently, if you don't drink or if you don't want to drink, you're supposed to tell the waitress, if someone gives me a drink, just bring me Sprite. And
Sit
out. Yeah. I didn't know that. I was a year in. So I said no, and then they turned. Well, they'd already turned because I started on my Jewish stuff, and they'd never met a Jew, which means they were uncomfortable with Jews, which means they're kind of anti-Semitic, but they're kind of just never met one, so... like asking me how I feel about aliens. I'm like, I don't know. But
see, I can hate Jews because I've met many.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've met a lot. Then the people behind the cage started banging the cage, and I said, oh, well, they're having fun. And someone said, no, they're trying to get out and away from you as fast as possible.
Oh, my God!
At that point, I had 27 minutes left.
And isn't the rule that you have to do all your minutes to get paid or something like that?
You do kind of have to do all your minutes to get paid, yeah.
So did you...
If it's between 25 and 30, you can get off at 25, but no, I can't do 3 minutes, no.
So did you tough it out, or did you just go, I'm leaving the cage match?
Well, I just recited my act. It was kind of like reciting it into a mirror.
Oh, my God.
The mirror got on, and then he got off stage. I said, good job, and he said, I wish I could say the same thing to you, and then he criticized my act in the next car ride for 5 hours. And told me that I should never tell people I'm Russian because people in that area don't still think Russians are communists. And I said, this was in 2009, and I said, I completely don't agree with you, and you should never underestimate the audience, and they should always come to you instead of you come to them. And, I think I was right, to be honest.
Let's say 85% of the time that works for you, and then you run into an audience where the guy was right. But most of the time, you have to stick to your guns.
You do.
And by the way, if you take out the fact that you're...
What do you think Mick Jagger does? Suddenly start singing country music or ballads when...
Well, he has done country music. He's trying it. Anyway.
No, but I mean, do you think he starts doing rap and hip-hop when, like, his stuff isn't working? I mean, you gotta be... I think the best artists who are successful have always stuck to who they are.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, where do you... Do you have a time set aside for writing new jokes? Do you carry index cards? What is your process of adding material?
I don't have a process. It's just what comes to me, or, like, adding on to stuff I already have.
And then kind of morphing and dropping. I mean, do you have... I'm sure you also have different sets, like a 10-minute, a half-hour of...
Right, 5, 10, 8, 15, half an hour, 45. I have different sets. Also, if I'm doing a temple, I might not do this... I might not do my Auschwitz joke.
What? Can you please tell us your Auschwitz joke?
No, you have to buy my DVD that I recorded.
You have a DVD? I didn't know this. What was that?
I recorded my solo show, When I Could Feel, and it's on DVD very soon.
Oh, boy. But remind everybody that before they even get the DVD, they can still see it's almost sold out. But
it's almost 2 tickets left for in 2 days, October 13th. 2 tickets left.
That's it? 2 yeah. tickets left?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well,
by the time the people will go, it'll probably be sold out.
Well, Mazel McGlick is part of the United Solo Theater Festival. On Theater Row, that's on West 42nd, I think on 9th Avenue there.
Exactly, that's it.
And also, don't forget
to... Sorry, my friend is sneezing.
Oh, Gesundheit, friend.
Gesundheit. Well, anyway, I have to go perform.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it has been an absolute delight talking with the fun and funny... Vicky Kupperman. Remember, her website is VickyKupperman. Last quick question.
Remember, Sherry Davey, Max Cohen, and Keith Anthony.
Max Cohen and Keith Anthony. Last quickie question for you. What was your heaven gig? I asked you about your hell gig. What's the greatest gig you've had so far?
Greatest gig I've had so far?
If you had to pick one.
Yeah, I'm not going to go with best paying.
No, I meant best audience, most fun... I can't believe I'm here.
Oh, I can't believe I'm here was when I was with David Brenner last New Year's for 4 shows in Valley Forge Casino. But and he's since passed away, and I did his last show with him. So that was I can't believe I'm here. But actually, a really, really fun gig that surprised me was in 2009 for this very, for a working class community in the Bronx. And it was in one of their function halls, and I thought it was going to be horrible because I'm like in the Bronx. I don't know where I'm going. It was about an hour away. And I get there, and it was the nicest, warmest group of people, and everybody killed. My favorite shows are when everybody kills. My favorite shows are when everyone does well.
Yeah, because one comedian, they build upon another. You know, there's momentum.
So it just shows that people can be exposed to different points of view.
Everybody, expose yourself to Vicky Kupperman. Wait, no, I should rephrase that.
No, not that way, please.
Go see Vicky Kupperman live and in person in her solo show. Get her book, get her DVD, go to her website, and watch her star rise as a comedian. Vicky Cooper, I thank you so much for being in the neighborhood. How do you say, is it Das Vidanya in Russian?
Vidanya.
Das Vidanya and Shalom.
Bye-bye
now.
Shalom.